This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome to That Mill Podcast. My name's Omar. Joining myself is my regular co-host for the new year, as always, Mr. Mickey Simpson. Hello, mate.
Hello, mate. You all right?
I'm not too bad, thank you. I'm back in the hot seat. It's been a little while, but yeah.
Pleasure. Yeah, I forgot what you look like, to be fair, mate. I think the listeners did as well, do you know what I mean?
Fresh little trinkle today.
I know. Even Neil Fisler on the space the other day asked about you and said, you know, best wishes to you and hope you're doing well. And, you know, is he coming back on the show? And I said, don't worry, he's leading the charge on Thursday night, mate. So, yeah.
Well, joining us, as always, is show regular Chris. Hello, mate. How are you?
Good evening, chaps. All right? How's it going?
Not good, too, chappy. Thank you very much. All good. All good for seeing you, mate. And joining us is from the enemy side, from Sheffield United. And that is... Well, mate, introduce yourself. Tell us who you are.
My name's Johnny. I come from Sheffield United fan channel, Shore and View, which is a massive piss-up on camera. So if you enjoy that kind of thing, go and give it a look.
I've always wanted to do that. Mickey won't let me do that. So, you know, one day, Mickey, right?
What's that? Well, get pushed on camera?
Yeah, come on.
Oh, yeah, we'll do a show for that. Yeah, definitely. Definitely, absolutely we'll do that, mate. I'm up for that. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for joining us, mate.
I'm glad you've done it already.
I'm up for it, but the trouble is you've got to be a bit cautious because just in case, you know, you say the wrong thing. But no, fuck it, let's do it. You know, we've been on, 2 years? It's another couple of, probably a month or so, and then I think it's a two-year anniversary exactly. So, yeah, fuck it, let's do it. You know, if you want us to do it, put it in the comments or drop us a DM, drop us a thingy, just turn around and say, yeah, we'll podcast on the piss.
Yes. Well, Johnny, thank you for joining us, mate. And we'll obviously be grilling you all about Sheffield United, talking about Saturday's game, obviously the FA Cup third round. Imagine the FA Cup returns to the Den. We'll talk about various different topics. Obviously, Benedikt Fofana's departure was announced tonight, departing on a free transfer of mutual consent. We'll talk a bit about that, of course, as well. And yeah, just the general chit chat with the opposition. So we'll go
and
straight.
We broke it first.
Sorry, mate.
We broke the Fofana first on the podcast.
Yes, right. Okay, we'll go straight into part number one anyway. We'll go straight to part number one anyway and focus on Saturday's game.
F Troop are the real nutters.
And I'm not going away for some 13-year-old puns to spit all over me. If he spits over me, I'll put a fucking pint glass in his head.
Nicky, you wanted to get that in, didn't you, so badly, mate, right?
Absolutely, mate. I'd say we've got a northerner on. If you are watching on YouTube, don't panic. There is a translation button just in the bottom right-hand corner. If you press that CC button, you will get whatever Johnny says translated. And again, if you're listening in the northern part of this country, there is a translation button at the bottom. If you press it, fuck off. There you go.
Right.
All he does for your is just install the E's, but yeah, you back in the E's.
Right, should we talk a bit about the football? Saturday, we entertained Sheffield United. We have had him in the FA Cup previously, a couple of years ago, we discovered, just before COVID, 3 years ago now, Chris. What are your thoughts and hopes going to Saturday's game, mate? I mean, it's going to be a toughie, obviously, against a team in the same division as us. Not the quite magical FA Cup draw we hoped for, but should be, nonetheless, a good game for us and an opportunity for maybe to keep our run going, obviously, after Saturday's win. Oh, yeah, Sunday's win on New Year's Day.
Yeah, I think being honest, and I'm sure Johnny feels the same from Sheffield United perspective,
I would prefer the league game, especially after the win and the momentum we've got at the moment, 7 points in the last three. But we are where we are. I think that for different reasons, both teams will field a not a particularly full-strength side. So it'll be interesting to see what changes he makes. I think two of the changes that we might have made for Saturday in Benik and maybe Imaku maybe now won't happen because one's not here and one's injured. We'll get onto those a little bit later. So it will be really interesting to see which of our fringe players can make the first thing line up, the likes of Bennett, Malone, Leonard, or any of those fit enough to come back into the fray. We'll have to wait and see. But no, I mean, it's a good opportunity to give some of those players some minutes and some time on the pitch. And I think, you know, regardless, it will be an interesting game. I think two clubs that, not just saying it because Johnny's on here, I think they're similar. I think there's...
It's not hard. It's Northern. It's miles away. You can't get here.
I think they're two similar mindsets.
I'll set Ricky out here.
You sorry? He said Mickey Arthur, apparently.
I think you're
on a little bit of a delay to me, Johnny, but I'll ask you a few questions, obviously, about recent form and your season so far for Sheffield United. Since the World Cup, mate, you boys are flying, aren't you? I mean, great turnaround for you guys, and you seem to be stringing together some decent form going into this cup game on Saturday.
Yeah, it's surprising because we've been abysmal for 98% of games. I don't know if you saw the QPR game. But we were atrocious, just not what we wanted to see. And I think we always start with a good 5-10 minutes, look well, attack a team well, and it's like, oh, well, job done, not scored, it'll come. And then we sit back and just invite trouble all the time. And we weren't doing that before the World Cup. We had a little spell where things went kind of off the rails, lost a few players to injuries. World Cup came at a good time, even though I don't like a December World Cup. And I hope we come back rejuvenated and go for it. But we've been missing McBurney. We've got Ndiaye pulling all the strings as one creative guy. And we're getting 3 points either and everywhere, playing badly. Now, I know that's, in theory, the sign of a good team. It's not nice to watch. Not nice to watch at all. And don't get me wrong, I'll take 3 points and play badly all week. Every week. If it gets us up, I don't care. But to see the drop-off is a little bit disconcerting, because how long can that keep up? And I think that's why I want us to go out and play under-18s on Saturday. We're not going to win Cup. We're not going to go on a massive Cup run. Like I said to you with private, McKay, I mean, if we could possibly both lose and then guarantee that we both go up and cause some carnage in Premier League, win-win for everybody.
I have to agree in a little. Yeah, I think with the World Cup, you did mention it there, it came a good time for you. Obviously, the likes of Sander Berg's returned, obviously, after the World Cup as well. He was injured, I know, beforehand. It seems that we weren't sure how it would affect teams in general, but I think for you guys, it seems to have obviously, with results anyway, I know you say performance has not been great, but it's definitely had a kind of an upward trend in your results and obviously getting you guys right back up into the mix and obviously keeping that gap to everyone else in the top two.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, just before the World Cup, I think we got some good results. Beat Burnley 5-2. Who else has done that this season? That was playing our best. And that's what you could, if we can do that, you do get disheartened seeing how bad it can get at the same time. As I said, as long as we keep winning games, I don't really care. Sander Berg has come back, key player for us. Don't think he's at full strength yet, nor at all. First game back, I couldn't believe it. He persisted playing him for the full 90 minutes. He was knackered after half an hour. But I understand. He wants to get the minutes under his belt, wants him up road to recovery. There is that worry that he might be injury prone, but with a player that good, you do want to get the minutes under his belt, so you can kind of understand it. If we're doing 2-0 down, I'd be fuming. But as long as we're winning games, I don't care.
I think he's one of those players, Sanderberg, that if he had an extra yard of pace, he probably still won't be at Sheffield United right now. He's obviously a complete midfielder, isn't he, Chris? Like, he's probably one of the best players in the league, isn't he, mate?
Yeah. I think so. I think he's one of the best players in the league. And if I'm not mistaken, wasn't there a lot of talk and potentially a move that fell through last minute in August? For him to move away into
They didn't want to pay as much as what he was worth.
But that fell through. So I think he's
the player. They want to stick him back to Belgium.
Yeah, exactly. I think he's a very good player. You've got some very very talented players and players that have played in the Premier League. Players that have cost you 15-20 million. I really like Ndiaye. Obviously, he played the World Cup. Didn't see too much of him, but in the Championship, he's been your
And I
probably be more player. Whatever his bloody name is, him.
Johnny, another player I'm quite impressed with when we played against you boys up at Bramall Lane. Obviously, you guys quite comfortably beat us on the day, kind of ran away with it in the first half. Was Anil Amrozovic. Is that the best pronunciation you're going to hear of that one? How was that?
We're just calling it Anil. It's just easier.
Yeah. Great set of mate, isn't he? He's really sought after as well, isn't he? He's like, seems to be kind of coming along leaps and bounds to his life this season.
Yeah, really good player. Chips in with goals, brilliant defending, great pace for a defender as well. I think when you can get 30,000 people from Sheffield shouting United love fucking Anil, you've done well. You've done really well. We lost Jack O'Connell, and it were a big loss for us, a really big loss. Personally, I don't think he'll ever kick a ball again. And whilst Anil's on the wrong side to Jack O'Connell, having a player of that quality there means we can experiment more with getting a Jack O'Connell replacement. When you're leaving Chris Basham out the side, who was a legend for us for 3-4 years, brilliant defender, to replace him is always going to be a bit of an iffy move. But we're a player of his quality. We're spoiled. And the longer we keep him, the better. People going about Sander Berger, Illiman and Dai, who are fantastic players. But I think he's been best signing in the last few years, easily.
I have to agree with you, mate. He's definitely a standout when we played you at Bramall Lane. I mean, Mickey, I did mention that game, obviously, when we played him earlier in the season. I think they ran away 2-0 the first 20 minutes. And I think Odinor missed a penalty on the stroke half-time, or Bart saved it. Mickey, it's going to be a tough game, isn't that, on Saturday for us? But, you know, a good opportunity, like we said to Chris then earlier, maybe for some players to come in, or maybe to keep the same team. What would you do if you were going around, Mickey?
I would probably put a couple of the youngsters in, but again, you know, it depends how much they want to go for it. You see, the thing is with Millwall, they like a little bit of an FA Cup run if they can get it, because it pays well. But personally, I would rather us went out... I know it's controversial to a degree, but I'd rather us gone out so that we can concentrate on our league position, and also hope that Sheffield United stay in for a little run and sort of lose that concentration on the league. I mean, I did say the other day in our group that I honestly see Burnley and Sheffield fucking
United up again.
Possibly Sheffield United, there we go. For fuck's sake.
Sorry, baby.
Hickory. There's nothing like a fucking pedantic fucking northerner, is there? Do you know what I mean? But hey, I honestly think that, you know, United, Sheffield United and Burnley will fuck up and potentially be out of the top two by the end of the season. I don't know. It'll be good if they can carry on and keep it there, but I just think this league this season is far, far too open. And obviously, a lot of the teams around each other are still set to play each other. So, yeah, I mean, we've got you again in, what, less than 6 weeks, haven't we? Back down at the Den.
Yeah. I'll try to go into that one.
Only the 12-point difference, Mickey. We never know.
Yeah, but 12 points only, you know, it's only, you know, a few clubs around them. It might be 12 points without, you know, with people, but... You know, they only need to get a couple of wins and them to get a couple of draws, and all of a sudden that gap's, you know, really, really cut down. It's just whether or not you can keep it going all the way to the end.
But you're somebody all perfectly there, because you look at the QPR game. If we'd have won that game, we'd have been 11 points clear of third. Now, eight's still a good points difference, especially how tight this league is. Eight's still good. But that one result shows you how close it is. I've honestly said, if we've got a fully fit squad, if all our players are fit, anybody who finishes above us is winning the division. Hands down.
Look at Luton.
Yeah.
Luton were, what, down the bottom? And then all of a sudden, they went on a few good wins over Christmas period and just before or whatever, and all of a sudden now they're top half in the playoff section, you know, or thereabouts with us. So yeah, I do think it's open this year. I know you lot fucking took the piss and went, oh, you know, really? And I just think I can just see some massive banana skins waiting for a few teams in this league this season.
Burnley's got a fuck-up period to come. They've not really had theirs yet. We had ours before Christmas.
Mm-hmm. We're 17 points behind Burnley for the record. Like, I mean, about, yeah. I take your point. Don't get me wrong. But so say that we're going to better them more than six times, for example. I'm not saying it's going to be us or even Blackburn. They're 14 points behind them in third place. So, like, it's going to take a lot for Burnley to mess up. I could kind of see you on for Sheffield United, don't get me wrong. little bit.
if any team can fuck up an 8-point lead, it's Sheffield United. We know this already.
I really think that Middlesbrough could be a team that could maybe to catch you guys is a stretch, but I really think they're gonna continue their form and finish strong. They've got a really good 11, and from the business stuff, I think they're going to be doing in January, the likes of Dan Barlasar from Rotherham. Rotherham's best player by an absolute country mile. Cameron Archer, who is just superb in this league. If they bring those two players in to complement,
haven't they got Cameron Archer already? Didn't, what's his name say on the group earlier, Johnny? That there's speculation of it.
Speculation, yeah.
It's nearly done, but it isn't done.
But the thing with Middlesbrough is they had all this same feeling last year when Wilder took over around the same time. And said, oh, January, we're going to bring in this guy, whatever. They did all this last year, went on a good run, and they were going to push for top three. And then in January, like, oh, we haven't quite got the money to make this happen or this happen. They lose a few players due to injury, and suddenly, manager's got his hands tied behind his back. And who's the guy? Is it Carrick? New manager. Never really, he's been an assistant in some good places, but I'm not being funny. I'm not doing this just because Wilder's a god where we're from. If Wilder can't get best out of that team there and he can't make things happen, I don't see Carrick doing it either if things start to go wrong. So,
would you have Chris Wilder back out of interest on a little tangent? If say, for example, you know, Henry Muck goes away, like, would you have him back in a heartbeat? Or is that
I prefer not to speak. If I speak, I'm in big trouble.
No comment, Your Honour.
Yeah.
Go on, tell us.
I personally would take Chris Wilder back tomorrow with Paul Heckingbottom as his assistant. Maybe two assistants, him and Alan Neil. I'd love Neely back. And Jack Lester and Stuart McCall as coaches. I'd combine the two. That's my political answer I'm sticking with. You can't push me any further. If you do, I'm pressing that disconnect button and we're up.
Don't worry, they've been doing it for you.
When Rowett was under a bit of pressure the middle of last season, when just before Wilder joined Middlesbrough, he was the man that, like, if we were saying, like, oh, if Rowett was the guy, I was shouting for Wilder at Villa. I think, like, you know how we can say, well, not, you know, you say similar clubs in a sense, like, I think you guys are a bigger club, obviously more supporters set up every week in, week out, but I think Wilder is the kind of man, which probably why it didn't work out for Middlesbrough, Johnny, I don't know what you think, but, like, he was the kind of, he thrives on being at a certain club that's kind of got a passionate support fan base. And Middlesbrough, you know, like, it's Middlesbrough, isn't it? But I think, you know, you compare our fans, I think Wilder would have probably maybe been an option for us, for example, maybe something. He thrives on that sort of atmosphere, doesn't he, in stadiums, I feel like.
I do feel that teams in the North East, your Sunderlands, your Newcastles, your Middlesbroughs, and I'm going to get slate for this, I do think they all think they're bigger than what they are. Great fan bases, one club cities, fill the stadiums all the time, well done, cracking, brilliant. But there's an expectation there. Whereas I think with Sheffield United, with Millwall, we take it as it comes. Where Wilder's been successful, Halifax, Northampton, Sheffield United, clubs that we were expected to get out of League One, everything after that were a bonus. Took us to the top six in Premier League. What more can you say? Places where he did well, but didn't really connect with the fans, Oxford and Middlesbrough. One club cities, want more than what they've got. I know it seems strange that it's about Oxford. Oxford think they're bigger than what they are. They simply think they're a championship team, and they're not.
Their ground is non-league bloody ground. So
pony, you lot will call it, wouldn't it?
That's it, mate. There we go.
Pony, mate. Fucking pony.
Chris has just said that he reckons Wilder could be going to Pompey.
That could be.
I never said that. That's not what I said.
Talk of him going to Pompey.
I don't think he'll go there. I'm just saying there's talks of it.
I don't think he will, but it'd be a good move.
It'd be a good fit. Another very similar, passionate fan base. But whether it dropped down to League One and to a mid-table League One club at the moment as well, don't know. But
I think he holds out just for a little bit longer, doesn't it? I think
I think he needs a passion project. That's what he always seems to do best with, passion projects. United fan, passion project. Northampton, didn't have any money, passion project. Middlesbrough kind of sold him a pup, really. So you can have this, this and this. Oh no, you can't have this, this and this. That's when things started to go wrong at Sheffield United. Once we went from two owners to one owner, that's when things start to go wrong. Lack of fans, ownership changing hands and promises getting broken. Oh God, I'm going to get fucking banned from playing again, aren't I? And, you know, all this kind of stuff. He needs some way, even if it is mid-table League One, a chance to go in, rebuild, put his stamp on things, and have a passion project, and that's where he'll thrive. So Pompey would be a good move. I just don't see it happening.
No, I don't either. Maybe fans are, but who knows? Let's stick back to Saturday's game, Mickey. I mean,
do we have to?
One bit of team news going into the game. Obviously, Saturday, we won't have two strikers available. One, because he's departed in Benik Avobi. But the first one I want to touch on, Mickey, is Idomi Maku, the Irish Shamrock Rovers new signing, who arrived, obviously, just before the January window kind of started. And obviously, was available to play from the first. He wasn't available against Rotherham. I didn't know if he was going to make the bench or not. I was being asked or not. But obviously, going into Saturday's game, he can't even play because he's injured, mate. I mean, quad injury. What's your thoughts about that, mate?
I mean, I can feel his pain with a quad injury, mate. I suffered a double quad injury when we had the fans game at the Den. You know, 35, 40 minutes in, a double quad injury.
Mate, I don't know what you're on about. So don't give yourself an extra 20 minutes there.
I think we need no doubt Phil Clark, who's probably listening to this, will come in and hopefully support me and disregard Omar's libel statement he's just made there.
I've got your back, Mick. It's dangerous playing in
now. I think the problem is that we need the new training ground fast because I think probably, the training ground what we've got doesn't have a great pitch, doesn't have underfloor heating, doesn't have this, and the cold weather and all that lot, it's probably you only need to jar your studs or get your studs caught a little bit in some of the grass, and all of a sudden you've pulled a quad, and that's it. Hopefully it's nothing too serious, it's just a very minor tear or via a minor injury, and he'll be back soon. It heals, it hurts a bit. It's fucking just don't go upstairs, mate. Don't go upstairs and don't lift your legs up and climb. Yeah, you'll be all right, mate. Trust me, you'll be all right in a couple of weeks.
It's obviously a blow for him there, Chris. Obviously, I think he was rumoured to be involved with the 23s this week. Obviously, the injury could pay to that and he didn't play and probably would have maybe got a chance to be on the bench Saturday and who knows, maybe got some game time. Do you share Mickey's thoughts there? I mean, I personally would edge maybe to, he's played in Ireland. I'm not saying the Irish League, the standard's getting better than, he's played in Champions League. But probably, I guess, the transition to the intensity of the Championship will be even in training. We always hear about how the training is like, the standard is like matched tempo. Maybe it's just the transitional stage for him. Obviously being only 19 years old as well, mate.
Yeah, quite possibly. And I think the reality is we'll probably never know whether it was the... He just overdid it because he's trying to, put his best foot forward in training and he just overdid it, or whether it's the pitch. But I think it might, in a way, do us a favour, not for the weekend, but, I'm not saying the club were, because actually their statement when he signed was very cautious in terms of not wanting to throw him straight in at the deep end. But if he had played well against Sheffield United, it might have been like, we don't need to sign another right winger because actually we've got this guy. So it might have done us a favour. I think, obviously, with him not being available for a few weeks or whatever it is, and it's still been unavailable, I think Bury needs a loan, to be honest. I'm sure we'll come on to Tyler at some stage. And then, obviously, with Bennett going, I think we need at least two or three forward players. And I think that might help force the hand a little bit. And I don't think we would let Bennett go if we didn't have something lined up. Now,
I agree.
I have no idea who or what that is, but I think it's fair to say the recruitment over the last sort of year or so has been pretty good since Aldridge has come in. I think credit where credit's due. And I trust that. I trust the recruitment team to have someone lined up, to be honest.
So as Chris was tied in there, obviously I mentioned earlier, Phoebe's gone. An interesting one, I have to say. I was quite surprised to see it. Not because I thought he had a more than half play still. I personally thought he would have at least signed a contract. He signed a one-year deal. I kind of thought he's the option if Bradshaw gets injured, obviously. So I agree with you there, Chris. There's got to be something in the pipeline because you're letting go, proven Championship goal scorer in his time. Obviously, this time around, it's just not really worked out. Almost a bit of the Ben Marshall syndrome there, Mickey, a little bit. And he's not really had that, I guess,
You know, he was in the side for a little bit. I remember missing, you know, this season, I think of Phobia, I just think of missing that penalty last minute in the game against Bristol City, really. That's like the highlight reel for a Phobia this year. That's kind of what I'm thinking a little bit. It's not really happened for him this year, has it, Mickey? And it's just kind of, I suppose, from a club point of view, the interest come from, supposedly from the Middle East. He's going to the UAE. And in that as well, you know, he supposedly was our top earner this year as well. And there's a £15,000 a week, allegedly. I guess a good opportunity to get him off the wage bill. And if, you know, we've got someone lined up like we hope, you know, it could work out well. But obviously, just Phobia, you know, never happened this year, did it, mate?
No, I think he was, you know, there was a lot of rumour about it because obviously he was out in the World Cup, not playing. Obviously, he was out in Dubai in that round of World Cup. So I think it's probably a move for him, sort of get him to get back to match fit maybe and just sort of get him, you know, regular playing again. And potentially, you know, a bit of nice hot weather is always always good for the soul, isn't it? So it's a shame, really, that it didn't work out for him here with injury and, you know, whether or not his confidence or he just couldn't, you know, again. He was one of those players that you sort of, you never knew. You could never figure out whether or not he was a super intelligent player who just didn't waste his energy or he was just the most laziest player on the pitch. I don't think he was, because I don't think any player on big money is actually lazy, but he's one of those players where you just don't know. He leaves you guessing, you know, like, why the fuck didn't you go for that? And then all of a sudden he's in a better position because he's not run his arse off there and he's gone. He's just a very, very casual, you know, player as such. But good luck to him, I think. He's had a rough time over the last few years and stuff. And I don't hold it against him. I think as far as what I've heard is that, you know, the contract was cancelled by mutual agreement, and I don't think there was no fees, so I don't think, you know, anyone's been stitched up over it, which just really shows the love he has for us. I know he has love because of certain things what the club did for him when he was going through a real rough time. What, you know, if you don't know, look up on it. But hey ho, it is what it is. But yeah, I wish him all the luck in the future. I think hopefully he comes back on form and he does well.
So 12 goals in 38 last season, Brass, in the league. Johnny, what's your, like, obviously you've got a bit of knowledge of the championship, obviously, about Millwall. Baker Phobia from the outsides, I mean, I guess when you see that he's playing for Millwall, what's the kind of thoughts out of interest for an opposition fan when you see a Phobia's line up against you out of interest? Like, is that like, oh, you know, Millwall's making a bit of an intent there? Or like, what do you think as an opposition fan out of interest? I think the interest is for us to hear that.
Well, Big Bad Bennett always scores against us, usually, until he went to Millwall. We always, me and my mate, he was saying top goal, like, oh no, not Bennett. Anybody but Bennett. Every time. But like you said, I think he came back to Millwall at a stage where he was kind of fizzling down, weren't he? I agree, Mickey. I don't think you were a lazy player, very clever player. You want to speak about lazy players? We once had Ian Rush in 97, that were a lazy bastard, and that's what Bennett Phobia wasn't. You know what I mean? He knew when to spend his energy and when not to, and it were always a worry that a player that's got that mindset will grab an important goal against you. So for us, it's a relief. I wish he'd have played in cup games, scored three against us, not decided cup, and then been gone for league game, but that's a different story. But, you know, it's a loss, because if you're low on forward players, you've got to have somebody coming in, because if you're losing a player like Bennett, who can be that man, you go, right, here's your chance to shine, we need you to go out and do us a favour, he could do it. But whether his mindset wasn't there, whether it's a deal that will always play on his mind, if you keep a player against his will, it's never going to work out well. So I think it is a loss, but I think it's good that it ended amicably for your guys. Because
I think... Sorry,
Mickey, I was going to ask if there's any strikers at Sheffield United had, but you still got 36-year-old Billy Sharp playing up front for you every game.
So John McBurn is it? Yeah.
It's Johnny's mate, Billy, mate. Be careful. You ain't going to say anything bad about Billy.
74.
To be fair, if we had a Billy Sharp's up top pressure, I suppose, in a sense. I mean, yeah, you know, like, just a grafter up front, isn't he? And just, what? You don't need to disagree, Chris. I mean,
I love Tom Bradshaw, but you cannot compare. Was he the top championship goalkeeper?
No, I'm comparing him to a 36-year-old Billy Sharp. That's what I'm comparing him to. Like, I'm not comparing him to a Billy Sharpie's pub 5 years ago compared to Billy Sharpie who's 36 years old, in fact, in that sense.
Well, Chris is obviously a Steve Morrison fan, you can tell.
Wonder where you get that, bro. What would we do for a Morrison?
I'm
going to top now.
It's so funny you said that, because I saw, like, you know, when you see these tweet threads go around, I was meant to do a tweet, I didn't do it in the end, but it was like, that one player you need, like, it said club legend in a certain season that you'd want in this side. And, like, okay, Morrison, legend or not, made that. But Morrison, the year we got promoted to the championship under Jacket, that Morrison, who got, you know, the move to Norwich just after that, that's what this side, Mill side, is missing. That's what this Mill side's missing, that kind of outlet that's going to score you goals, be a nuisance and get in behind. Like, he had all of that and scored the goals.
But when you had Morrison's always a danger. Like, I was saying about a phobia there. Whenever I saw Steve Morrison's name on team, shot, oh, fuck. Him and that traitor Gregory. You know what I mean? They were your pinnacle up front.
Is he a traitor now because he's a boy blade and he's now playing for them?
Dead to me. Absolutely dead to me. I can have a United tattoo on the back of your leg and move to South Barnsley. It doesn't make any sense. I hope they enjoy Dingle Derby in playoffs.
I do enjoy their chant for him, though, to be fair, but I mean...
You mean the Ultimate Baby chant that he stole and put Lee Gregory in there? You mean that chant?
Bastards.
Well, Chris, just to wrap up on the phobia anyway, obviously, you know, we've lost him. I hope we've got someone lined up. I'm sure we do. But, yeah, I mean, phobia's gone, and I guess all the best, right?
Yeah, absolutely, all the best. And I think on Twitter today, when the announcement broke out, there was... It was quite a split, actually. Some people were, you know, thank you for, you know, for everything and whatever. And some people were delighted to see the back of him. I think, for me personally, if the rumours are true, he was one of, if not a highest earner. He's probably going to go and at least double his money in Dubai. I think, just my perception, based on absolutely no knowledge at all, I think his desire for the game is probably not as what it was. He's obviously had a lot going on in his life. He's also had a lot of injuries, which probably make him physically not in the shape that he'd like to be. He's got a lot of businesses outside of football as well. And I think maybe his mind's just not in it. So for him and for the club, for him to move on at this stage, double his money, go and live his life and be happy in Dubai, makes sense for him and for the club. It gives us 15 grand to maybe go out and sign two players. So I wish him well, and I think it's worked out as the right thing. As long as, caveat that we have players lined up, because we are now down to one centre forward, recognised centre forward. Well, you can add Bogey to that mix, but he doesn't play there. And that's not enough. So
I reckon right winger, and then Voggy's going to come straight in the centre, mate, and play, you know, in the striker centre forward position, mate. That's what I reckon. We'll get a sign in over the next day or two for a right winger, and job done, mate. Yeah,
you know, it'll be at least two.
I think the right winger, you've got Ray Leonard on him.
What do you think of him? Go on.
Sick note.
He played a few games. He signed for him from Southend, right? And he played.
We chased him for ages.
Yeah.
And then he came and he would dogger. Absolutely dogger.
You beat us to the signing originally. And then after about not even 6 months, we signed him off you.
Yeah. I think that's something we started on the line.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hey, like 20 games for you, though. He's a common figure in that squad, though, is he not? Or...
I think he was there out of necessity, if not out of desire.
I see.
But it just didn't fit us. It's one of them players where it probably would have fit 99% of our teams, but you know when you sign that one player that he's going to be good in, and he does not fit. I think that was Ryan Leonard at Sheffield United. Same with Evans at Wigan. We brought him in. He was good for 3 or 4 games. Just didn't work. So we had to move him on. I think that's what clubs tend to not do now. They keep a player maybe a bit too long. If it don't work, it don't work. You're better off getting rid and moving on.
So what about transfers for Sheffield United is this window then, out of interest? Where are you guys light when we're... So say, for example, Saturday is your best team. What are you looking for as a Sheffield United fan going into this window and hopefully to take you over the finish line of the season?
Depth, that's what we need. As you said, we've got 74-year-old Billy Sharp up front because McBurney's out injured, which isn't a bad option to have. But when you've got a player who has had some tough times at Bramall Lane, like McBurney, who then suddenly starts finding form, to lose him is a big loss. So it got that left centre-half position. We've got Reece Norrington-Davies. He looked like the brilliant Jack O'Connell replacement. Injured. Got 2 ageing fullbacks. Got 2 young ones. 2 young ones get injured. Yeah, I mean, it's all about depth there. I wouldn't say no to a double-sided wing-back. Somebody who can play on both sides, but maybe it's not good enough to start every game. But, you know, just a bit of a backup. Reece Norrington-Davies needs, even if it's a loan, we need something on that left-hand side of defence. And I've never said no to the striker. I think midfield is the only place where we're all right at the minute because we're playing with that 3. We've got Mendyche. We've got Norwood. Flex still to come back from injury. We've got the 2 lone players from Man City, Sander Berger. So I think we're pretty stacked there. I think it's just the front and back, really. And I think it's the same in every division, isn't it? You're always chasing another striker just in case. Whether we're going to get any of them, because obviously we've got a proposed takeover coming on, that could hinder things quite a lot.
With £24 million Brewster, not enough for you boys then?
Is he injured? Injured?
Yeah.
Every time he looks like coming back into form and grabbing a goal, he gets injured 20 minutes later. scores a goal at Blackburn and then hobbles off 10 minutes later.
Is that why you've recalled the Sula?
I believe so, yeah. Jemison, he'd just come back from injury himself. I'm not a big fan of him, but I think he did well when he came on against QPR. Did a job. Sometimes you need a lump up front. And that's not disrespecting his football ability. He's just a bigger lad than the other players up there were. And you need that physicality sometimes. I mean, we're both teams that have played 4-4-2 long ball in the past. We both know what that lumpy player looks like. And it's not a bad thing when you need it. So I think Asula is just to give us a bit of a different dimension in case it's more of a technical game rather than an heavy-handed game. Because, to be fair, that Asula could be a player he loaned off us once we've got players coming back. If you do need a striker, he would fit that chasing level because he's been at League One, didn't really get a shout in because Didze, again, from us, in form of his life. So he's never going to get in squad. Whereas I think championship level, maybe chasing that air echelon at championship and doing world of good. So yeah, Millwall, if you want a solo, come back in before end of January, we'll have a look at it.
So then on Saturday's game then, obviously you're saying play the 18th. Is that what's going to happen? Because obviously it's quite, third round's kind of game. I don't think we'll make too many changes either, personally, because it's like you've got a week break, haven't you, afterwards. Normally, yeah. Well, we do anyway. I'm not sure what your fixtures are saying. But, I mean, is there going to be many changes, you reckon, based on Saturday? Or who can we look out for that maybe is like not a known name, really, I suppose, that could cause us trouble on Saturday?
I think Asula will start. I think he's going to start again. Probably either him and Sharp or him and Dyke. I believe midfield's going to stay pretty much the same. Might start Doyle instead of McAtee, cup of tea as we call him. I think mainly the changes are going to be at fullback position. I think he's going to rest Stevens and Baldock and play Max Lowe, who's again coming back from injury, and Jaden Bogle, who's coming back from injury. I know it's Millwall away, but it's not.
I have both of them down the den, by the way, Chris. Are you showing it shows the context of this championship a little bit.
We've lost so many players, and I know it sounds daft, but Millwall away is probably the way you want to get them back up to speed. Because even if it is a cup game, Millwall's never going to come out and give us an easy game. Even if you play Joe under 18, they're going to come and kick his 10-foot up in air. This is what Sheffield United and Millwall do. So I think we just need to get players' minutes under belt. So what I'd like under 18s, I think Eckenbottom's going to get maybe play 2 halves, give the players who need minutes the first half, and then rotate to more normal players in the second half. Now you can have 5 subs in FA Cup now, can't you?
I think so. I think that's
something. Yeah, I think that's probably what he's going to do with it.
Yeah, interesting. Okay. I mean, it's mad that you look at, I got this sort of saying, Chris, like Bogle and bloody Lowe. I'd have both of them down there in a heartbeat as options down there.
Lowe wasn't impressive, mate. Watford away, first game of the season, he looked abysmal. And before that, when we've seen him in the Premier League, he looked abysmal. Middlesbrough didn't look at his best. And then that third game, he just turned into a different player. He just started setting world alight, making forward runs, skinning players, actually defending, getting back and defending. So I suppose you don't judge a player by his first few games back.
I've never thought I'd say in my lifetime I'm missing Max Lowe, but here we are.
Just on the transfers, sorry, on the transfers to all three of you, do you see any, and I'll come to you first, Jelly, do you see any of the Championship clubs losing possibly some of their star players to Premiership outfits in this window?
We're in danger of losing Bergwijn and Dyche, but I think until we either extend their contract or if we convince them to stay till at least end of the season, we're always going to be in that danger. Always. Whenever you're a Championship team with players like that, you're in danger of losing them. I'd like to think that one, with a takeover coming on, two, with where we are in the division, we can kind of convince them to stay. Flex on about the Rangers want him, and I don't understand this pull to Scotland. Oh, it's Rangers, massive, fantastic club. Yeah, go play League One football, crack on. So there's always that danger. Burnley, I think, are more in danger of losing players. West Brom are more in danger. Norwich. Teams that Burnley are doing well, but they've got a lot of players that are younger, that would attract big money moves. West Brom and Norwich aren't doing well, so they run the risk of losing their bigger name players to a Premier League team. Even a Southampton that are looking to rebuild, they can come in and poach players with decent money because they've got that Premier League money. It's an old cliche. The better team's doing, the safer your players are.
I think we're safe. We're not going to lose. I think we're not going to lose RC and Fleming, Mickey. Don't worry.
We talked about this. Yeah. No, I don't think we are.
No, big player. You never know. I think Premier League sides, it's hard to know. Like the financial gap between that, like, you know, for us, for example, Sheffield United may be in a slightly different boat. I mean, I don't know what your finances are like, but obviously, like, you can afford to fork out, I'm sure, in January if you need to, and sell some players, you know, and reinvest that. Whereas for us, it's like, we can't say no if someone offers 10 million for Fleming. Yeah. That might sound ridiculous. Like, some people might think only 10 million for Fleming, but like, if someone says to you, here's 10 million for him now in the Premier League, and they're thinking, you know, say Southampton, clubs like us who've not been in the Premier League 20 years, you know, clubs 5 years plus that have been Championship or League One, you can't say no to that sort of money. That's the fact.
Really? I can't see Millwall take, because we talked about
this. Anyway, because he's got 2.5 years left for his deal.
No, I know, but I think
an offer for him in January.
No, we talked about this the other day on the space, that they reckon that there's quite a big sell-on fee from the club he come from, potentially. And then obviously, yeah, I mean, Stephen was saying that he'd read that there's like a 20, maybe a 15, 20%, possibly slightly higher sell-on clause, because they took a massive drop in what he was worth the year before, purely to try and bend it. I think really a lot of these European clubs want players playing in the English game, because it's a good window for their players that, you know, if they do get snapped up, then obviously there's a massive fee there for them to go forward. But yeah, I think Fleming, if someone come in to offer, I'd think, you know, 25, 30 million, and then the club might look at it. We did have someone on the space said, you know, realistically, we shouldn't sell him for less than... sell him for less than 30... Yeah, we had someone come on and said, you know, realistically, we shouldn't really sell him for less than 50 million. But yeah, but who's that? There's a player today who I can't figure who he was now, but he played in the World Cup.
So maybe
it might be a French one. Yeah, who's now got a value of £120 million. He was like 13 million before the World Cup or something.
What?
No, not him. There's a player today. I was listening to it earlier. There's a player who's suddenly got fucking an absolutely ridiculous fucking price tag associated with
him. Yeah, because his agents put it on him. That's why. His agents had a great album to it. 113.
I don't know.
Exactly.
I sat on a webinar last night about, you know, interest in football agent, and some of the money for talking about average wages for stuff. The average wage allegedly for the Championship is £29,000. And I'm thinking, fuck me, I think half our players are on fucking well below average wage.
That's because you've got Sander Berg on 100k a week, isn't it? That's probably what we're in there.
There's no way. To answer your original question, players that might get snapped up. So, Semenyo, there's quite a few rumours about him.
Yeah,
I think he'd probably get snapped.
Yeah, possibly. I think you've got to look at people like Nathan Jones, right? They know the league. They know the best players in the league. So Southampton could be something. Depends who comes in at Everton. I wouldn't be surprised if Coventry lose Gyökeres. A club down the bottom of the Premier League wants some firepower and a knee-jerk reaction. They try to bid 15, 20 million for Diaz or Gyökeres.
Okay.
Those two are the ones that I think, put it this way, those three players I just named will go for a lot more money and have a lot more interest in them than Fleming will this window. There's just no way.
Well, I don't think Fleming's going anywhere.
He goes anyway, but my thing with hypothetical is in that, you know, if say, for example, he was a year and a half into his spell and he's got 10 goals this season, you know, like, if for Millwall, if they get a £10 million bid, I know we've all played Football Manager, we all could play devil's advocate, but if you're Millwall, you sit there with £10 million dangling in front of you for a player, it's like, I mean, that's hard to say no to, you know, and I'm like, okay, what's his value in the market now? You can work out numbers, do calculations, this is the figure he's worth, and we'll stick to that. And I'm sure that's what the analysts do, and I'm sure that's what Alex Aldridge does, but it's like, it's hard, like, for a club like Millwall, for example, if we had that talisman that's worth and money, you know. This time last year with Jed Wannix, he's got 6 months left of his contract. We chose not to sell him and lost it for free. In hindsight, should we have sold him for a couple of million to Nottingham Forest? Probably, right? You know, like that's a high.
He could be knocking him in. He could be knocking him in now for the Premiership club and helping them right out of the bottom of the league. But unfortunately, he chose to go West Brom, and you know, the rest is there. So yeah, where do you think it's going?
What do you think for Saturday then, Johnny? Let's start to talk about Saturday's game and wrap up, I suppose, a little bit. What do you reckon the score's going to be on Saturday, mate? It's always a corny question to ask, but what are you expecting Saturday? And are you coming down, obviously? I know you go to...
No, not for this one. Not for a cup game. No, I can't justify it. Christmas has just been... it's poor up north, don't you know this? What if you're winning that? I haven't even got to eat it. That and Gwyn Baldur's Mickey. But anyway, with this game, I can't see it being a glittering one. I want to say 1-0 Millwall, but I've got a feeling it's going to be a 0-0 or a 1-1. And are they doing replays? They are doing replays, aren't they?
You're saying you're not going down for that. We'll take 200 up there for the replay.
It's not a replay. There's no replay. It's penalties. It's extra time and penalties. It's extra time and penalties because of the World Cup, wasn't it?
Millwall 4-0 on penalties. That's my prediction.
Jay Cooper to score any time? Or what were you saying, 29?
If you play him, then yeah, of course, obviously. you'd be daft not to, let's be fair. He might as well just have I Hate United tattooed on the back of his neck for some bizarre reason.
He's 8-1 anytime most games. I reckon it'll be evens on Saturday come kick-off. So. Yeah, that's pretty much. Chris, what do you reckon Saturday, mate? What's your thoughts, feelings going into Saturday? And yeah, I mean, expecting an interesting game or... dead rubber, if that third round tie against the fellow league side, what are you thinking?
Yeah, being real honest, I couldn't give a monkey's about it. I know that's bad. I'm just being really honest. I think, as I said, I think he'll make three or four changes. Shackleton and Cresswell, maybe Malone will come in. Not wholesale changes, because to your point, you've got a break, so you don't need to. It always offers a little bit of money, which I know the club like. I'll go with a 2-1 Sheffield United win. I think it'll be 1-0, and then they'll bring on their big guns. Good old Billy Sharp scoring his 1,000th goal in the championship, whatever.
Obligatory goal.
Yeah.
Mickey, what are you thinking Saturday, mate? What do you expect?
I mean, obviously, I'd like us to win, but for the benefit of our push in the league, I would prefer Sheffield to win, just to cause them a little bit of pain going forward and hope that they get a fourth round draw against a League Two club and then win that and then get another shit draw and then start getting the Premiership clubs towards a later stage and hopefully, you know, continue through that path, because I think if they do, I think that will fuck them up for the league and potentially give us a lot better chance of being able to get up the table. But yeah, obviously, heart-wise, I'd love us to win, but I think it's potentially going to be more trouble than what it's worth, especially when, let's be honest, the league is much more important to us this season, more so than any other league, more so than any other year, because this season I just think the championship is there for whoever actually wants to go grab it.
It's hard, like you just said. My heart doesn't want to lose any game. If we're 3-0 down at half time, I'll be screwing at radio. Even though I've said with my head, I won't mind us going out. It's that football fan thing, isn't it? You know what makes sense, but you can't accept it sometimes.
Yeah.
So the 28th is the fourth round. Millwall have a fixture schedule against Burnley that day. Burnley got Bournemouth away this weekend. Burnley probably going to win that game, I think. You know, I can see Bournemouth making changes. I can see Fizzy Company, you know, wanting to try and get a little cut run because they got a 14-point buffer. I can see Burnley getting a result, but it's a toughie. Who knows? But I want us to win Saturday. I want us to get to the fourth round, and then that's when I want us to go out. Fourth round is a good time to go out, and then we focus on the rest of the championship. So, but also, you know, you talk about the draw, like probably, like, you know, you want to get a shit draw. But the fact is, if we win, we get a home game against the League One side. If Sheffield United win, they get West Ham away. So, you know, it's the reality a little bit. So, I'm gonna go 1-0 Jake Cooper. There you go. We've got to do it right.
Nice.
Yeah, and then we get a Premier League away day. Let's hope. I'd love a Premier League away day and just.
Which was this? Apart from the obvious, which we're never going to get. But I mean, if we can't get West Ham, where else would you want?
Everton. Oh, not the Everton away.
Very nice.
I wouldn't want City or United or Arsenal or Tottenham because we'll lose 7-0, but they're a good day out regardless. Don't get me wrong. Or Liverpool. I'd love it, but. Everton away, for obvious reasons, that every Millwall fan will know why. And also, I think we've got a chance of actually beating them on the pitch as well. So, you know, it's like, you never know. Never know.
Again. Everton have got pigs, I think, as well. So you could end up with them. That'd be a little bit new off you.
Mickey, anything else, mate, you want to add to the show?
Just a quick one. I just wondered what your thoughts were with all this stuff, what's breaking the day, that the FA are potentially going to be giving the top six negotiation rights for the FA Cup and the Carabao Cup. And possibly change around the workings of how they look to sell the TV rights to the FA Cup and I mean allegedly it's the top six of the Premiership or the you know like the hierarchy of the Premiership or allegedly are there's a meeting to discuss obviously now that the Premiership threw their toys out of the pram but didn't want to get involved in this shadow board stuff and you know start playing ball there so. You know, the Prime Minister's now said, well, fuck you, we're just bringing independent regulation and we'll have a look at what you're doing and make sure you're supporting the lower leagues. But now, all of a sudden, the FA is potentially going to give up the TV negotiation rights so that the FA, so that the Premier League guys can go and try and get as much money as they can. I think it's a good or bad thing. I think it's bad for the rest of the leagues, to be fair. I think, you know, okay. All this ruining them now.
Yeah. Obviously, it's bad. Kick them out. So, yeah, but then the thing is, this is the trouble, right? The top six are bigger than everything in football in England.
We all love
but the money in the game, maybe it'd be a good thing, actually. Kick them out, and then the money in the game will go down. And then that means football will be football. You know what I mean?
So, oh, no, this isn't kicking out. This is basically...
No, but we're saying it as like... Johnny
kicking them out.
But, you know, like, because that's only like, you know, fans will vote with their feet in that scenario. But these brands, these football clubs, they're football clubs and they're brands, let's be honest. Like, these are worldwide brands that are bigger than everything to do with English football, you know, or like financially. So it's all money. It's all money, isn't it? So
you couldn't...
But if we did kick them out, we get football back to what it is. And that's, you know, not about expensive football, not about money. It's
let them go play in Dubai Super League. Take Man U and relocate to Dubai. See how big they are in 6 months.
Yeah.
The problem is that the people who run, you know, the CEOs of the Premiership clubs and the top six are very, very clever people compared to the people who run the FA. Because if you remember, when the Premier League started, it was the Barclays FA Premier League. And it was the FA Premier League. And then very, very discreetly, it got rebranded into the Barclays Premiership and then the Barclays Premier League. And the FA just suddenly, you know, they just got a sideswipe, really. They didn't see it coming because they weren't smart enough to see it coming. And unfortunately now, you have a beast of an organisation what can demand billions of pounds for TV revenue, treat us guys like scumbags if we dared to put a little bit of match footage on a vlog or on a bit of our channel. They could potentially take our channels away and and you know, they've got that much power over people when, you know, football's our game. It's not theirs. Yes, they make the money out of it, and the money's fucking corrupted, and the money's polluted the whole football society issue as such. But I don't know. I don't know what you do. Unfortunately, you know, there is a hell of a lot of us who watch football. I think it's something like 35 million people watch football at a weekend in some way or another. You know, and realistically, chances of getting all of those to stand in the right direction and possibly, you know, come back at people will never happen. Super League, it did to a degree, but I think that was, if you look at it around it, that was more driven by, you know, it on every single Sky News bulletin, because Sky didn't want that, because obviously that fucked them off. But Sky is losing its power over Premiership football. That's why they're jumping all over Championship football, because BT and others have, you know, done. And I reckon within another 2-3 years, all clubs will have their own TV channel.
Yeah. They've got that out of the league, haven't they, where each individual club negotiates their own rights. That's where it'll go for Premier League. And you'll lose that power when you come to Championship. And it's only going to go one way until, like you said, getting everybody to stand in the same direction. I think, like you mentioned, with the Super League, Sky didn't want it, so to an extent, fans didn't want it. But I think the core real fans are your Chelsea's, your Tottenham's. Because you've got to fit them. They're more established now, but they're new blood into top six, Chelsea and Tottenham, aren't they, really? They, during the 90s, they were never big teams. So they're fairly new blood. Just, they're still less touristy than your Man U's. Man City.
I sent you that thing yesterday, didn't I? £1.5 billion industry is football tourism. And that's a fucking hell of a lot of money. So, you know, it is.
I think whatever you have some real fans there, there is always that safety net of, well, we'll fuck off then. But I think the more, like you mentioned, the more it does become touristy, especially for, I hate to say it for your guys, especially for the London clubs especially. It does eat away a lot of your new fans. It eats away a lot of your new revenue streams. That's what's it. We had this problem now. We had a six-year-old in my brother's school. He wearing a Man U shirt. Never been to Manchester. It's like, why don't you support, even if it's dirty gates up road, why don't you support one at local clubs? And it's like, well, what am I going to do with that? They don't win every week. And that's the problem.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. And the problem is, we've got it in Millwall, that you can walk around Bermondsey, where years back you'd see, you know, Millwall shirts, or you'd see Millwall items of some form or another on the kids. Now it's Man City, you know, Man United, Newcastle, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the only other point, just before, only because you're all football-minded and it's, you know, great to have them on, and also I want to take the opportunity to be able to ask this question with Omar here, because he might not be here again for a while, but... what do you think about the clause in Ronaldo's deal that allegedly Ronaldo, if Newcastle get Champions League football, Ronaldo will be loaned back to Newcastle to play in the Champions League football so that he can have Champions League football?
I think it's absolutely irrelevant because Newcastle are getting Champions League football. So it's as simple as that. Not this year, maybe next year.
They're going to go sign three players, probably for $40 million each. That'll going to like spearhead them to the top four of the season. You know, it's like, they'll probably sign James Maddison. They'll sign James Maddison in the 10. You know what
that'd
mean?
Be a good signing.
Yeah, you know, there'll be a couple of players they sign this window that'll just like they'll keep.
Haven't seen them linked with anyone though. To be honest,
no. It's like when Man City first got took over. It'll be a Robinho, you know, one of these players with a massive name but don't fit into a squad. Man City didn't start winning shit until they got a squad. They bought a few superstars, and then when you brought in Aguero to mix with your companies, with your Torres, you know, like actual good team players, then they started being successful. So as much as Newcastle are pushing it now, I still think they're a bit individualistic, and it's going to get worse in January.
I think the Premiership now is being shown that it's all about money, because look at Liverpool now. Liverpool is... You know, they haven't really got the money to be able to compete with some of the other clubs at the moment. And obviously, when they lost their, what's his name? I can't think of the player now, but they've gone pretty shocking to a degree. And now you've got teams like, you know, teams what spent, I don't know, a couple of $100 million, and you've got teams like Man City who are spending over $1 billion. And you just think, fucking, the world's gone mad.
They're this ridiculous spend, because it's Liverpool. The reason probably Liverpool succeeded is because recently all attracting the star players because they're in Liverpool. And, like, look, like, I went there to a thing where they suggested
like have a training ground in London or something stupid.
I'm sure. Yeah, I remember that.
They're like, oh, Liverpool to have a training ground in London, because then they can attract the star players, because it's not what's in Liverpool. Like, that's like, you know, it's
most of them don't live in Liverpool, anywhere, don't they? They live in Cheshire in there, don't they?
Yeah.
No, but like, the point is, like, that if you had a training ground in London, you're there 5 days a week, and then you play one game at Anfield once a week, you're going to attract the stars, because like
Milton Keynes.
Yeah, there's that thing to it. I don't know.
I think that back to the original question about Ronaldo. So say if Newcastle brought in James Maddison. So say they had an unbelievable window, brought in four players. They brought in, say, Maddison, Harry Maguire, two other good players that are going to do well in the team. They get Champions League football. Why do they want Ronaldo back? To collect shirts and tease out at half-time? What for? Like, unbelievable player.
Because wants to play. Because he wants to play Champions League football. And it's so part of the agreement. Yeah, I know, but you haven't got the same agent as guy. I mean, you know, there's a lot of... I was speaking to someone in football the other day who sort of... He's not massively thin, but he's sort of the behind-the-scenes side of football. And he reckons that Ronaldo's deal is, in total, is about 208 million pounds and everything. And he's the one who said about this clause. And you just think, that's just fucking mental.
And that's why,
you know, he's gone to... Because they're the same... Because they're the owner... owns Newcastle and the team he's gone to, doesn't he? Because they've got so much money, they're like, oh, he's on a FIFA ban, but we're still going to play him anyway.
Well, we've got a Saudi prince in our club. Where's his bastard money? You know, four finger ass. But no, it's just so corrupt and horrible, and I hate talking about it because it boils me piss. It really does. You've got these corrupt owners doing this, that, and the other. It's like
alleged. Greek club. Alleged.
Alleged. You got this Greek club before Forest, where they go, oh, we don't want him, we'll send him to that Greek club for a year. And it really does annoy me. And this whole agents demanding £200 million for a player. So sooner we cut agents out and start demanding it run by FA or PFA or something like that, the better. Because it's got players.
Yeah, but a PFA are fucking alleged fucking just as bad. I mean,
they are, but they are.
Fucking run me a bath for fuck's sake. Do you know what I mean?
They are, but at the same time, would you rather trust them or some bloke who's getting £200 million for Ronaldo? As a fan base, if you want to see football kind of chill the fuck out, really.
Because he's gone too far. I think the only way he's going to do that, he said, the problem is it's gone too far forward. I mean, agents now, I think, are on 5% is capped, and they were talking last night in that presentation that FIFA are looking to cap that even more to 3%, you know, which sort of then stems it, but you know, I think there's either going to be a massive explosion within the football market, because there's players out there what ain't worth the money that, you know, they're being touted around. I mean, come on, let's be honest. Ronaldo is what, 37, 38, is he? Are you telling me really that he's worth, you know, if you work the figure at 177, that's £340 a second of every day he's fucking breathing. And that's just, you know, madness. There's people in this country at the moment what, you know, probably earn now a week, let alone per second.
The problem is, Ronaldo the player is not worth that. But Ronaldo the
shirt sales.
Ronaldo the brand. I don't know. I haven't done the sums. And to be honest with you, I couldn't give a monkey's. But Ronaldo the brand is probably worth that.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a sad, sad world.
Well, definitely. I mean, it's
especially just when it's the status clubs.
And if he went to Newcastle, just say, you know, if that deal with that, if that is rumoured to be true, and he did go to Newcastle, then Newcastle would sell so many shirts on the back of having Ronaldo number 7 on it. It would probably pay for his transfer. Do you know what I mean? It really would probably pay for the transfer. There'd be, you know, that much money in it. But hey ho, there we go.
The best player ball boy in the world, he'll end up at Newcastle. I think until more teams end up like Juventus, until Real Madrid, Barcelona, Man U, Man City, all them end up in a Juventus situation, it's going to carry on.
Yeah.
And then you've got people like John Brereton with us, who has put £129 million into the club with fuck all back and fuck all really assets to sell. And, you know, you just think that realistically, we are very, very lucky to have him rather than, you know, someone go like that. So yeah, Millwall figures are out. We've got a show out next week with our regular figure expert Kevin Maguire. Kieran Maguire even. So we'll be going over that next week. So, yeah.
Cool. Well, I think we've probably come to the natural here. Now we're into the show. Thank you so much to the enemy over there, Sheffield United. Jolly, how you feel? Thank you for coming on, mate, and much obliged. And
no problem.
Good luck after Saturday, I suppose, aside from in 6 weeks' time.
Good luck. I hope we get up through the playoffs so we can cause some chaos in Premier League.
Oof. That's it. We'll see you at Wembley for the playoff final, mate.
don't even say playoffs to me. I don't even want to hear it anymore.
Cringe, thank you as always, mate, for coming on, and see you Saturday, no doubt.
And just one thing. Yep. I don't think we should just call Chris one of the podcast hosts now. I don't think we need to say regular guest or regular panel or whatever. I just think him and Joe now should be just a host, I think, don't you?
Can we take our little dirty laundry off at El Fair, pass it right, big mate, and then we'll talk about it after?
See the hesitation in his face. It's like,
oh, no. we need replacements. Are you gonna say anything about, like, Kyle? We're just gonna leave that and fuck him.
We'll talk about it another time. Next show, maybe.
Yeah, excellent. There we go. Yeah, fun buff guy. You still hang out.
Well, yeah. Thank you, Chris, and thank you, Mickey. But
thank you, Omar, for finding your way back.
New year, new me.
While we're on the topic of ruining him, is there anything you want to have a pop at him about, Johnny? Feel free.
Which one?
Hey.
Whoever you want.
We've come to an end anyway. Johnny can't have a dig at me on Friday. He's not allowed. He's the end on Saturday, so sorry, mate. Unfortunately, but thank you for coming on. We'll end it there. Thanks for tuning in. If you're new around here, be sure to like the video, subscribe if you're new, be sure to share and follow the pod, and always check out our socials at That Mill Pods. We're back and we're good to go into 2023. Thanks, guys, and see you soon.
Thanks for having me.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Are you ready for truly hydrated skin? Meet Hyaluronic Body Serum, a breakthrough in body care from Osea. It's clinically proven to instantly increase hydration by 161%. Their lightweight, fast-absorbing serum delivers 24 hours of nonstop hydration for silky, smooth skin without the sticky afterfeel. Osea's latest innovation combines the magic of their best-selling Hyaluronic C Serum with a new formula that's good for the whole body and 5 types of hyaluronic acid to target every layer of the skin. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been crafting seaweed-powered products for nearly 30 years. The best part? Everything Osea makes is clean, vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified, so you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Treat your skin to clean, vegan skincare from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code SUMMER at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code SUMMER.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.